Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to find the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Lankus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lankus, and today we're going to be talking about reproof. The Bible has a lot to say about reproof. It is not something that we enjoy, so we don't talk about it a whole lot, do we? So what exactly is a reproof? What does it mean to reprove something? Reprove is kind of the opposite of approve. Approve means you agree with something or you like it. Reprove means to criticize or correct, to disapprove of strongly, or to censure. Reproof in the Bible often is talking about God reproving us, God showing us that He does not approve of something in our lives. The first time God ever illuminated a scripture to me in the Bible, I don't remember what it was, I'm sure it was in the 90s when I first got saved, because it was early on, it was Proverbs 1:23. Which says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make known my words to you." And even that early in my walk, I understood that what he was saying is, if I get on to you for something, you stop doing it and you turn away from it, and I will give you these things. And so, for the most part, I did that. There were still times when I got into sin, when he didn't reprove me because I already knew I was in sin. So what is the reason for God's reproof? God reproves us because He loves us. He reproves us when we're doing something wrong because He knows that our wrong actions are going to bring great consequence in our lives. He knows that if we are doing something wrong, that we will reap destruction. So He tries to reprove us, and hopefully we receive that and turn away from that. You know, you can go through life rebelling against all the rules and arguing against all the truth and doing all that kind of stuff, and many of us did for many years. You can go through life like that if you want to. But if you spend your life breaking all the rules and arguing against the truth, what you will have is emptiness, sadness, and destruction. The way to a happy life is to accept Christ and follow the rules. It's really that simple. Because when you accept Christ, He graces you with His peace and His joy. And when you follow the rules, you don't sow any more destruction into your own life. So how do we know when we're being reproved? Well, maybe you're reading the Bible and, you know, scripture just kind of jumps off the page at you. That's one way. If it's a scripture of correction or a scripture that says, you know, "Turn you at my reproof," that's pretty obvious. Or maybe we read the commandments and we feel this feeling in our spirit or down in our belly or in our heart that, oh, I'm doing that wrong and God wants me to do that right. That's a feeling of conviction that is brought by the Holy Spirit to let you know that you're doing something that is not pleasing to Him. If you are wise, you will stop doing that thing immediately. So why would someone not turn if God is reproving them and they know? Let's say there's somebody who knows they're doing, let's say someone's in sexual immorality. Let's just say, for an example, let's say that there's a woman in church and she is falling for somebody else's husband, or she's falling for the pastor. So one day she's reading in the Bible, because she's a good Christian, right? She's reading in the Bible and she finds verses about adultery, and she realizes that she has looked on this man with lust, the same way that men look on women with lust, and she feels that feeling in her spirit. Why would she not immediately stop when God showed her what she was doing was sinful? Because that sin has a hold on her. Because the enemy has told her, oh, it's okay. You're a good person. God will overlook this because you're a good person. You know, you do this and this. You do the nursery every Sunday morning. You know, you give in the tithes and offerings, whatever. You're doing everything else right. God will understand this. Oh, God understands sin very well, but he don't excuse it. There's a big difference in understanding and excusing. So if you're under that deception right now, you need to come out of it. So if God shows you something when you're reading his word or you're listening to a sermon, you feel that feeling in your spirit that that's for you, you better respond. That's very important, especially now in the last days when the judgments are about to hit, because you could be taken very suddenly and you may not have another chance to repent. If a bomb drops and you're under it, you're not going to have time to repent. Can I tell you that? If the big earthquake hits and you're standing there when the fault line moves, you're not going to have time to repent. You need to repent now. If God's reproving you, repent. So what happens if we do return when we're reproved and God pours his spirit out on us? Well, what does the spirit bring? Galatians chapter 5 says the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are all good things. Plus, if he pours his spirit out on you, you're going to be able to operate in the gifts of the spirit, possibly gifts like healing and prophecy and different things like that, depending on what he's called you to do personally. A lot of whether we respond or don't respond when God reproves us depends on whether we have any fear of him. People who don't know the Lord well seldom have fear of him. It was a number of years before I did. I think it was about 4 or 5 years into my walk, and then one day I saw his power in action, and I had it real quick, and I hit my face immediately. Let me read a little further in Proverbs, because I love the first chapter of Proverbs. It starts in verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make known my words to you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regard." And he could be talking about America right here, y'all. "But you have set at nothing all my counsel and would none of my reproof." In other words, you didn't want any of my correction. You didn't want me to tell you what you were doing wrong. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then shall they call upon me," meaning the ones who would not turn upon his reproof, "but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me." They shall not find me. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." In other words, since they thought that they didn't need me, I'll let them be their own God and they will have no help from me. That is not somewhere we ever want to be. If the person you love most of all in the entire world is diagnosed tomorrow with an aggressive terminal illness, you're going to need to be able to call on God for help, because you're not going to be able to get any help down here for something that's going to kill them in 2 weeks. There are people who pass away that fast from things like cancer. I didn't know that, and I talked to one of my cousins recently who just lost her dad, and she'd been out of town, and I didn't know she had lost him. And she said he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he died 2 weeks later. I was just shocked, because I didn't think that even cancer would kill you that fast. If we fear God, we will respond quickly when he reproves us. We will not want him to keep having to correct us in other ways. And fear of God brings a lot of blessing, y'all. The Bible talks a lot about that. And we see from these other verses what happens if we refuse his reproof, especially if you keep refusing it. I don't want the fruit of my own ways. I don't know about y'all. Proverbs 13:18 says, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." There's one thing that we should think about with reproof. In order to receive reproof, we must be willing to listen, and we must be willing to be reproved. Reproof is a lot like criticism. You ever start a new job and then when you realize that you're not doing something just right, you kind of grit your teeth and you go, wow, I'm going to get criticized for that. That's never fun. But the fact is, Criticism helps us improve and do better at whatever it is we're attempting to do, doesn't it? So in order to turn at God's reproof, we must be willing to listen. We must be willing to be reproved, to receive the reproof of God. We must be willing to listen and be corrected by God's word and by his true counselors and pastors, people you hear the word through. Like if you're sitting in your church and you hear something in the sermon and you feel that conviction of the Spirit, that's God reproving you, then accept it and say, Lord, I'm sorry about that. I will change that right now. So how can we make wise decisions to start with so maybe we don't need quite so much reproving? Well, let me tell you. To make wise decisions, you use the Bible as your guide. Then follow God's leading in your spirit. God, how does God lead? God leads us by peace, first of all. He gives us peace as the umpire. That's found in Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. When you let God's peace rule in your heart, when you let his peace be there all the time and you're following God's ways and you're doing your best to do what you know is God's will for your life, you will have this great peace that settles down over you. And it's inside you and outside of you. And in that peace, you wake up with that peace and you go to sleep with that peace. It's really incredible. And the minute you get out of his will, the peace leaves you. And that's the main way that you can know you're out of line. After you have lived in that peace for just a short while, you will not ever want to live without it again. I personally cannot live outside of God's will because I cannot stand not to have his peace. So he leads us by giving his peace or taking his peace away. Okay? He leads us with open and closed doors. If you're faced with, let's say, two job choices and you're not sure which one is God's will, say, Lord, close the door that I'm not supposed to go through. Open only one door. Give me peace about your decision, and he'll do that. And the other job may pay $80,000 a year, and the open door may pay $20,000, but you go with the one that's his will. It doesn't matter about the other stuff. Because wherever his will is, he will prosper you, and that's worth far more than man prospering you. He guides us also with his provision. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the Lord sent Elijah to the brook Cherith. And there he took care of him. He had the ravens feed him and all this kind of stuff, and he had the water from the brook. When it was time for Elijah to leave the brook, the provision dried up. In verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then God sent him to the widow at Zarephath, and he did a huge miracle that we're still rejoicing over today. Elijah knew how to follow the will of God. He knew, obviously, he heard from God and he obeyed God. But the brook Cherith is a marker. It's a lesson for us to understand that that is one of the ways that God speaks to us when we get out of his will. And he's trying to tell us and we're not moving. There's one more way, and I'm not sure where the scripture is about this. I saw this one in action years ago. The Lord had been trying to show her and tell her, and she had told me at one point on the phone, I think God wants me to move from Amarillo back to the Elk City area. And I said, oh, that's awesome, because I was living in Elk City at the time. I wanted her to come back, right? Well, she never did move. She had a really good job in Amarillo working at a 4-star hotel, and she was a sous chef there. She can cook. And so one night she's out doing something, and she gets robbed. Her car gets robbed. Her rent money, her purse is taken. She gets robbed. And she called and told me about it. You know, of course, we prayed and everything. And I just felt so terrible for her, because none of us who, you know, were working paycheck to paycheck could afford to lose our rent money, right? And so a few weeks go on. I don't remember how many, 2 weeks maybe, something like that. It might have been 3. A little while longer passes by. She still didn't go back to where God was telling her to go. She got robbed again. And I told her, I said, that's God telling you that you need to. And she left after that. She got out of there. And it stopped happening as soon as she left. As soon as she obeyed God, it left. I believe that if you are outside of God's will, and this happened to me too one time that I can tell about in 2000. It was the end of 2001. And I was in Lafayette, Louisiana. I had gone from a job in Sherman, Texas, down to a job in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I was fine with that. Everything was good. I thought everything was good. And I'm in the first 10 days of that job. And I run out one night and I get tacos, and it was just about dusk, which usually I didn't even leave the hotel when it even became sunset. But I ran out, I got some tacos, ran back to my room, was fixing to go into my room, and this man tried to follow me into my motel room. And that had never happened to me. I was on the road for many years traveling by myself and never had anything even remotely like that happen. So, of course, I slammed the door, and I put a chair up under the door because I was really scared. And I said, "Lord, what is going on? I have never had anything like that happen. I don't ever have to be afraid." And he said, "It is not my will that you be here." And I said, "Oh, no." I said, "That's it. I started packing. I ate my tacos, and I packed all evening, and I left the next morning. In fact, I didn't even get proper notice on that job, and those people still won't speak to me that I was working for. But to me, to be out of God's will was far worse than anything that they could do to me. So I left that job immediately. As soon as I got back home to Dallas, I was fine. I had peace, no more danger. So when you are outside of God's will, you're also out from under the umbrella of God's protection, and that is a very, very dangerous place to be. And y'all, the reason I'm teaching you these things is because we are in the last of the last days. The Lord literally has told me that. We are in the last of the last days. And if He reproves you, you better turn. You better stop any sin that you're doing. And you know if you're sinning, all right? We're adults here. You know if you're in sin. And you better stop doing it because you don't know what's coming, and God is not, He's not going to let you play footsies with the devil and then you get out of the bad stuff that's coming, okay? I would be scared to death if I had sin in my life right now that I knew about. I always search my life for sin and ask God to show me. I have no sin that I know of. If I did have, I would be terrified, because it should be scary to you any time to have sin in your life, because none of us knows the number of our days. But in the last of the last days, y'all, when judgments are falling, are you kidding me? Don't play with that. Please do not play with that. God is not something to play with. He is God. Okay, so to be reproved, we must be willing to listen, willing to be corrected by God's word or by, you know, your pastor, whoever He's set in your life. If you have a mentor, a God-appointed mentor, not a mentor you picked out, but a God-appointed mentor, then God will use them to correct you. And we need to use the Bible as our guide. We need to follow God's leading. He leads us with His peace. He leads us by opening and closing doors. He leads us with the provision being there or the provision drying up. And He leads us with whether our hedge of safety is in place or whether it's been breached. If your hedge of safety is breached, you need to get along with God and find out where you're out of line. Reproofs are like sharp knives. They're very needful and they're very useful, but they should not be used by children. And immature people can be too rash and wound others when they're reproving. It is very important. If you think you need to reprove somebody else, you better be sure that you've heard from God, and you better be sure you do it in love, or you're going to get in a lot of trouble, and you're going to hurt that person, and they may never recover. Reproof needs to come through someone who is mature in the Christian faith and someone who is in a position to reprove you, meaning someone that God has placed in your life for that purpose. When I had that wonderful mentor, Beverly Wilhoit, in Oklahoma City for those years, she had the most loving way. She could reprove you, and she got your attention, but she did it in such love that it cushioned the blow. You knew you'd been corrected, but you didn't feel you'd been judged, I guess. And that was just such a gift in her. A good mentor, a godly mentor, will do that. An ungodly mentor, or someone that's really not been appointed by God, will just rip your guts out when they reprove you because they do it wrong. The best place to get reproof is being one-on-one with God, reading His Word. As you read through the Scriptures, and I love to read Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and I've always loved the book of Proverbs. You can get lots of reproof in Proverbs, places like that, but God will reprove you. He will, if you will get in His Word. And if you'll pray, and if you will seek reproof, if you will seek correction any place you're out of line, Lord, please show me any place that I'm messing up, because I don't want to mess up, Lord. I want to honor You in everything I do. So please show me if I'm out of line. And I will turn at Your reproof. If you will pray that and ask the Lord to correct you, if you need correction, He will do so. And if you will turn quickly at His reproof, He'll reprove you very gently. But as time goes on and you don't turn, the reprieves will get more loud, more stern, more forceful. Because he loves you. He doesn't want you to stay like you are. He loves you. Reproofs are kind of like God's spot remover. He's removing the spots from the bride. But if you want to be part of the bride, you got to be willing to have those spots removed. And you got to be willing to let go of the spots. I'm talking to somebody. Let them go. You got to be willing to let that sin go. Y'all, there are, you know, sins like sexual immorality, if they were not pleasurable, we would not be tempted by them. And I assume that drugs are the same way. I don't know a lot about drugs. But drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, whatever it is that you're into, that you're having trouble letting go of, I promise you God can give you a joy that will override what you're giving up. I promise you, because I have been there. But if you don't give them up, if God gives you the fruit of your ways, okay, what's the fruit of gambling? The fruit of gambling is you lose everything you've got. You can lose your family. You can go bankrupt. The fruit of sexual immorality, that's a sin against your body. You will probably have a very bad disease, not necessarily sexually related, but a disease. David talks about having a disease in Psalms, a disease that was so bad no one would come near him, in fact. The wages of sin is death. It is going to bring death and destruction in some area of your life if God gives you the fruit of your ways, if you refuse to turn at his reproof. You choose. Do you want to turn or you don't want to turn? But not turning is a lot higher price if you keep that sin. Can I just tell you that? The wise will turn. If you don't want to be wise, that's your business. That's between you and God. But it's my job to teach you. It's my job to teach you whatever reproof is, how to receive a reproof, what's going to happen to you if you don't take the reproof. A lot of us know this, but I think we need to be continually reminded of the truths that we already know so we don't lose them. We don't want to lose our memory of the different things that we're supposed to do, to walk like Christ, to do the right thing every day, and to be his ambassadors in this world. I want to read y'all something by Michael Boldea. He is the grandson of Dumitru Duman, who's a great prophet that was sent from Romania to America. He's since passed away. God rest his soul. But Michael Boldea wrote something that is very moving about repentance, and I want to read it to you because repentance is reproof leads us to repent for a sin that we're in. We reject repentance at our own peril. We reject righteousness, sanctifications, and the pursuit of holiness to our own detriment. Though there is safety in the narrow path, we've taken it upon ourselves to blaze our own trail, indifferent to the untold perils and dangers awaiting those who stray. Our refusal to accept God's help, our refusal to submit and humble ourselves before him, only hastens judgment. The level of your relationship with Christ today will determine whether you stand or fall by the wayside tomorrow. Now, we all know that what tomorrow is bringing for Americans is very, very ugly. God is going to protect his own. But if you don't turn at his reproof, I don't know which group you fall into. Because those who love him obey his commandments and will turn at his reproof and do want his correction and love him enough to give up the sins. So you decide which side you're on. But think about that. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. And that doesn't just mean the commandments in the Bible. That means his personal commandments to you to stop doing something. Okay, I want to pray for y'all right now, and then I'm going to leave you with another original song by Jay Hudson called Jesus, You're My Healer. Father, I lift every listener to you right now. Lord, I just pray that you would make known your reproofs in our lives. Lord, any place that we are out of line, we desire your reproof, Lord. Those who stand in agreement with this prayer, we desire your reproof because we want to be better for you. We want to honor you in all we do, Lord. Everything we say and everything we do, we want it to honor you. We ask, Father, that you would reveal to us the areas that you desire improvement in, and that you would empower us, Father, to change those things that need changing, and that you would give us the courage to walk boldly in holiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you for reproof. We thank you that you love us too much to leave us like you found us. I'm so grateful you didn't leave me that way, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That music is so beautiful. You can contact Jay Hudson at his blog spot, http://midnightcrymin.blogspot.com, or you can email or PayPal him at crymin52@gmail.com. His music is available on cdbaby.com. Well, I hope this show has been a blessing to you and that it has helped you in your walk with Christ. I thank you for listening. I hope that you have a really great week. God bless you. Bye for now.
thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.